wrap up our series for the year, and so you're going to see that as we go into this. Now, I want to pull up the next slide, the first slide. This is just to give you a preview of the new series that's coming this fall as we continue our study through Acts next year, but it's going to take a slightly different twist. So you know we studied Luke for a year, and we went through this series called Resonate. This past academic year, we've been going through the series called Accelerate, and we're going to be moving on to complete the book of Acts in the series called Kinetic, and that idea of moving from potential energy to kinetic energy. So kind of cool, huh? But before we move forward, because I know like you're thinking like, okay, thank God, Josh is finally wrapping up this long, long series. But before we can really move forward and wrap up, as we wrap up this series for the academic year, it would be easy for us just to kind of think ahead and skip to what lies ahead of us and move onwards. But I think today, one of the things God is trying to teach us is what does it look like to reflect, to look back and reflect on our ministries, on our missions, on our lives, and to learn how and why we need to do that from Paul and Barnabas through God's word. I had a cool story to share with you, but I'll skip it. Let's pray instead. How about that? God, our Father, we invite your presence. We thank you that all of your word is good, that it is all preachable, that it is all stuff that we can learn from and be transformed by. So we thank you for this little chunk of scripture this morning in Acts chapter 14. And we ask that it would meet us where we are, that it would speak to us, that we know that you have called every single person in this room to be here this morning, and that there is something that you want to do to say to us or to change us in some way. So we love you, and we hand this time over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going through this series called Accelerate. We're wrapping it up, actually. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn it to Acts chapter 14. And just to refresh your memory, the reason why we took this term from physics is because acceleration is, we're talking about the rate of change, a change in velocity or direction, when an outside force kind of propels something forward. And so the concept here is that as we connect with Jesus, that we are accelerated together as a church by the power of the Holy Spirit to grow both deeper through his family and to grow wider in our impact for Jesus, for the gospel. So if you missed any of this year-long messages, they're online, they're free, but you get what you pay for, okay? So previously, we talked about how Paul and Barnabas, they were led by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by this church in Syria called Antioch, the city of Antioch, to go out and teach and preach and live out Jesus to various regions around there, through the island of Cyprus and all throughout Asia Minor into the region that we know as Galatia in the Bible. And if you're curious, you can kind of look on flip to the back of your bulletin. There's a little map so you can kind of trace that because I'm terrible with directions apparently. But we're going to pick up where we left off in Acts chapter 14, verse 24. Then they, that's Paul and Barnabas, passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. Let's stop right there. So what we see happening here is, like us, Paul and Barnabas, they're kind of in the home stretch, right? So in verse 24, they're returning back through these regions of Pisidia and Pamphylia, and you can look on your map to figure out where that is, and they're kind of taking a roundabout way back home, as you remember that we talked about last time. And in verse 25, this time, they stop longer in the city of Perga. And this is the last leg of their missions trip, so they're staying to teach about Jesus and to minister to the people there. And then at the beginning of verse 26, they continue down to this port city, like right next door, called Attalia, and they sail directly back to their current home church, which is Syrian Antioch. So it's the city named Antioch in Syria, not Pisidian Antioch, where they got kicked out of a couple times. So if you're kind of confused, it's kind of like thinking, well, you know what? Maybe some of you live in Dublin, California, and you go on a missions trip to Dublin, Ireland. They're two same name, but they are distinctly different places, okay? So this is not the same Antioch. They're going back to their home church. Now, to give you some perspective, they've been gone for about 2 years. They've been traveling around for about 2 years. So for those of you who are younger, you can think of it this way. It's like if or when you went off to college, you're kind of maybe thinking about coming home, and you can feel a little bit anxious about that return. I wonder how much has changed over the past few months. I wonder if the people I know and love, or the people who know and love me, are still there. I wonder if there's going to be a lot of unfamiliar faces. I wonder if the lunch has gotten any better at church. I wonder if the sermons have gotten any shorter. I wonder if I'm going to be welcome. Will it still feel like home? And so in the middle of verse 6, the author of this book, Luke, he describes why they returned to the city of Antioch. Because it's where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they fulfilled. In other words, as Paul and Barnabas, they're completing their mission, they've reached this milestone in their lives, the reason that they want to go back is because these are the people, as partners, as family in Christ, who kind of came around them, who commended them. That word in the original language, what it means is to come alongside somebody and to put them into God's sovereign hands. That's what commend means, to come alongside somebody and put them into somebody's hands. And so what does it say in the passage? They commended them into the grace of God. So they're entrusting them into the hands of sovereign God to receive his unearned favor. We're not talking about their salvation, but they're receiving the grace of God, his care, his provision, his protection. That's what these people who came alongside him were doing. That they were praying over Paul and Barnabas. We're coming alongside you. We're putting you into God's hands and trusting him to give you this unearned favor and care and provision and protection. Now, for those of you who've been tracking with us, I want you to think about this for a minute, Paul and Barnabas' journey, right? Their experience, if you think about it, does not look a whole lot like a lot of God's favor or God's care, right? If you think about what we've been talking about, maybe the Syrian Antioch church, they weren't praying hard enough or something, because if you think about their whole journey, they come to the Isle of Cyprus, and there they meet a sorcerer, starts contending against them, kind of whispering in the ear of a Roman governor that they're frauds and they're crooks. They come to the city of Perga, and their team member, John Mark, he can't take it. He gets seasick, he gets homesick, he gets scared of sorcerers or persecution or foreign food, so he bails out. Then they come to Pisidian Antioch. Now, the people there, they respond, and they're very joyful at first, but everyone who is culturally like you, all the Jewish people who are like Paul, they say that he's a bum, and so they agitate the town leaders and drive them out from the city. In Iconium, the religious people, they plot to mistreat Paul and Barnabas. The word there is the same word that they use for how Jesus was mistreated when he was arrested and beaten and spit upon and mocked. And so they had to get out of Dodge. And then in the city of Lystra, the people are so pagan there that at first, when Paul performs a miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit, the people start worshiping them as if they're miracle workers, as if they're gods, right? And then they turn against Paul and Barnabas when the religious people decide to come from 100 miles away, chasing them down from Antioch and Iconium, and saying, you know what, these guys are totally bums. And so they turn against them, and Paul actually gets rocks hurled at him until they think that he's dead, right? So I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but it's kind of hard sometimes to picture for Paul and Barnabas that they were entrusted into the caring hands of a sovereign God who is providing for them and protecting them. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You know, sometimes people tell you, well, you just got to trust God. But inside you feel like, well, you don't know how rough I have it in my life. For some of you who went on missions this summer, we had 3 missions teams go out. And I know for some of you on missions, it felt like, well, this was a real spiritual struggle for us. Or maybe I didn't even see the spiritual stuff. I just saw the human stuff. My team felt so divided. Or maybe as a Christian, you go out and you're trying to live out your faith. You're trying to be the goodness and light of Christ in the world around you, and people don't seem to respond to Jesus in you. Or maybe you lost your job this year. Or your marriage is in shambles. Or your family is driving you crazy. Maybe you feel alone because other people are so hard for you to connect with. And so you feel like, I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to go back to them ever. And so it would be very easy to lose sight of God. And trust me, Paul and Barnabas, they have every right to feel negative, to feel beat up. It would be easy for them to complain or to focus their eyes on the circumstances and the hardships that they experienced. But what Luke tells us, Luke reminds us that they returned to Antioch because these were the people, that was the place where they were experienced a reminder that they were entrusted into Jesus' hands to give us favor, to give us his care and his protection and his provision. And so you can imagine Paul. Guys, I'm back. You will not believe this, Remember, before I became a Christian, I participated in the murder of that guy named Stephen, who was a Christian. You know, we chucked rocks at him until he was dead. Well, you know, the irony of the situation, that's ironic, right? Because in Lystra, I kicked people off so bad when I was telling them about Jesus. They started chucking rocks at me and thought I was dead. But praise Jesus. He decided that he was not done with me yet. He preserved my life. He answered your prayers to give me his favor, his friendship, and his protection, his grace. And so the principle here this morning is that likewise, you and I, we need to learn to look back and at God with a thankful heart. And I know that sounds so generic, but particularly remembering his favor and his care for us. We need to look back at God with a thankful heart. That's that next slide. And as we reach milestones in our lives and in our ministry, it's important not to be blinded by the painful circumstances of our lives or the things that are happening around us, but to look back at the one who has brought us thus far. And even in the case of Paul and Barnabas, it's not just not only remembering the ones who prayed for us, but acknowledging the one who has answered the prayer. We need to look back and thank Jesus for his care and his provision, regardless of the circumstances that we experience. And in addition, in the end of verse 26, you see that Luke brings about for us an awareness of how by the grace and the power and the help of God, that they were able to have this incredible ministry and impact on people, that God did stuff through them, that his work was fulfilled through them. And so regardless of the opposition they experienced in Cyprus, in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Derbe, in Perga, the churches were off to a really good start. There were people there who were responding to Jesus. They're excited. They're enthusiastic. There's love for Jesus. There's a fruitfulness, a contagiousness. There's the work of God spreading. And as people's lives are changing and people become spiritual leaders, even themselves, as Paul and Barnabas are training them up to become pastors in their own churches. And so when I think about us, likewise, as you and I pass milestones in our lives, we need to stop for a moment and reflect and look back at Jesus with thankfulness, not only for his work for us, but also for his work through us. Does that make sense? I know that our YWAM team, the team that went to Youth with a Mission, that went to Las Vegas, that there was a lot of team struggles as Satan was really oppressing you and creating a lot of tension between certain individuals. And I'm sure every single one of you kind of felt the weight of going through that process. And last week they went through a debriefing time. And as they were kind of meeting together as a team, it's very important for us to process, like after we come back through some type of heavy ministry experience, to process through our struggles and our hurts and our experiences on that trip. And I understand that, and that's actually a very healthy thing. That's a very good thing. But one of the things that encouraged me most that some of you told me about, for those of you who were on that team, I was so encouraged to hear that one member of the team concluded at the very end, towards the end of that meeting, that we also need to look at what God has done in us and what God has done through us. And I was thinking to myself when I heard that, yes, that is the right attitude, that we need to fix our eyes not just on the pains and struggles that we experience, but to give credit to Jesus, to acknowledge how he has provided for us, how he has cared for us throughout even these difficult situations, and to especially give thanks for his work through us to minister to very many people. And I know that for people sitting here this morning, you're thinking like, okay, so Paul's coming back, and it's Paul and Barnabas, they're doing their missions debrief. Not all of us went on missions this summer, and I understand that. But all of us are called to be on mission as followers of Jesus. And the principle here is that as we pass through milestones of our lives and ministries, we need to learn to look back and really thank God. Lord, no, it wasn't easy. Sometimes I had it really rough. But thank you, Jesus, for caring about me. Thank you for the ways that you did protect me. Thank you for the ways that you preserved me in ways unseen that maybe I didn't even know about. Thank you for the ways that you provided for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your kingdom work that you accomplished through me. I am honored that you chose me to participate in blessing people, to help them to get to know you more. You see, when you don't have that attitude, then the tendency is for us to focus our eyes on the obstacles, on the hardships, and then we start to question God's goodness, don't we? I do. I don't know about you. But when we actually stop for a moment to reflect, then we discover that God was there the whole time. When we think about the ways that He did care for us and the work that He did accomplish through us. And so part of the importance here of learning to look back when you pass these milestones of life and ministry, to look back and thank God, is that it actually helps us get the right perspective, the kind of perspective that we actually need. So when was the last milestone that you passed in your life or in your ministry? Just recently speaking. Is your tendency to speed past it and just kind of move on with life and just get on to the next thing? Because like Mindy mentioned, in our society and in our culture, our tendency is to be so busy, we just kind of move on to the next thing without stopping to think too much about what just happened. Maybe you need to take some time today to stop and reflect, to really look back at God with thankfulness for His care and provision for you and for His work and ministry through you. Let's look at these last two verses. Verse 27, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together," this church in Antioch, Syrian Antioch, "they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples." So in verse 27, as they returned to this church in Antioch in Syria, word spreads fast amongst all the believers that live in that city. It's kind of like, hey man, Paul and Barnabas are back. It's been over 2 years. We prayed to send them off in the care of God's hands. We prayed every week for God's favor on them, that Jesus would protect them and provide for them and use them, and He did. So even though Paul looks a little bit rough around the edges, you know, you okay, buddy? It looks like you ran through a stone wall or something, right? But he's alive. Praise Jesus, you know? And so all the believers come and they pack this house, and Paul and Barnabas, they report back all that God has done with them. And so they're sharing stories of Jesus' amazing care for them. Hey guys, you won't believe this. We narrowly escaped being tortured to death in Iconium, but Jesus tipped us off. Or people tried to stone Paul to death, but Jesus preserved his life. They shared Jesus' amazing provision. Guys, thank you for supporting us and financially helping us to go on this missions trip. And even when the money started to run low, Jesus provided for us part-time jobs or provided friendly faces so that they would provide an extra room or an extra meal. Jesus amazingly provided for us. And most of all, they shared about Jesus' amazing work, that there's this open door for groups of unchurched, non-Jewish people to come and believe Jesus, trust in Him, and follow Him. Now, instead of saying at the end of the night, hey guys, thanks for the party, thanks for coming, but we got really important God work to do, so we're going to be moving on. In verse 28, it says that they spent a long while with the disciples. It's not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, but they reconnect with the believers in this home church for an extended period of time. They stayed to celebrate and worship together for what Jesus has done for Paul and Barnabas and through them. And they stayed to reconnect with their family of Christ, to get filled up through fellowship and relationships, to encourage each other, to grow together. And the second principle this morning is that as we pass milestones of life and ministry, we need to look back to mutually encourage each other. We need to look back to mutually encourage each other by praising Jesus, by celebrating what He's done in the stories of our lives and our ministry. We need to stick around to connect in fellowship, in relationship, in encouragement. You see, one of Satan's greatest lies is that he'll convince us that other people at church, they're not worth connecting to, or that they're not worth sticking around for. Bless you, honey. I've just come back from this awesome missions experience, but people here, they're just not serious enough about Jesus. Imagine Paul and Barnabas thinking that or saying that. Or I come each week to church and I'm evaluating people through the eyes of the world, not Jesus' eyes, but people here, they are too different, they are too weird, they are too much trouble sometimes for me to really get to know and enjoy. But Paul and Barnabas and the people at Antioch, they weren't bound together simply because of their commonalities. That wasn't because they loved the same sports team. Go Longhorns. It wasn't because they were bound together by the same, sharing the same office space. It wasn't because they were had the same politics or the same hobbies, the same pets or the same personalities. The key here in verse 27 is what drew all those people to come and see Paul and Barnabas, what draws and binds them together with Paul and Barnabas is that they declared all that God had done. That together they were sharing about what Jesus was doing in their lives and through their lives. And that is our commonality too. That's the secret to connecting with people in the community of Christ. Because it helps us to get over our social nearsightedness by seeing people through the eyes and the glasses of Jesus. I think about it this way. When Melissa and I started dating several years ago, I know you're going to disagree with me, but I'm not super handsome. You know, I don't have rock hard abs, and you know, I'm not exactly what you would call a scintillating conversationalist. I don't have a rock star personality. I do think that I'm pretty funny, but she really does not enjoy most of my humor, which is really rough on me, right? I'm always playing to a tough crowd. So the truth is, I only really had one card to play on, and that is, you know, I've started to share with her what Jesus was doing in me and what Jesus was doing through me. I put all my money on this one hand and, you know, let her ride, right? And then 3 years later, we got married. So the lesson here for you single people is, no, that's not the lesson, okay. But there is something about when you share with each other about what Jesus is doing in our lives. There's something about that. As we're sharing about looking back together, what Jesus has done through us and in us that encourages each other, that forges a bond together. And so I'm not asking you to I have to go to these fellowships and just suffer because there's people like Josh or Dennis who are so annoying, you know, in our small group. That's not what I'm asking. But if you meet with people in the body of Christ to share stories of what Jesus has done, it forges a bond. It's just like, for those of you who are a little bit older and you remember going to those old school retreats, we don't have it in our upcoming retreat, but you remember at old school retreats, they'd always have a campfire, you know? You'd kind of sit around on the last night, everybody's sitting in kind of like this open air amphitheater, you're looking at the stars, you're freezing to death, but there's a hot fire down there that you wish that you could sit closer to, but you don't want to sit too close because the smoke kind of billows out, stings your eyes, makes your clothes stink. I don't know where I'm going with this. But as I'm thinking about these campfires, but you remember the thing about them is that people always get up, you know, whether you are like some 12-year-old kid or some 60-year-old guy, you get up and you share the story about what Jesus is doing in you, some new insight that you gained, some way that God is healing you, something that God is liberating you from, setting you free, the ways that maybe God has used you to bless someone else, so that instead of, and when somebody shares a story like that, instead of looking at them and feeling like, man, that Calvin, he is so weird. I cannot stand that guy. When he shares a story like that, there's something that God does that creates a connection. So now I'm looking at Calvin and I say, man, he's still really weird, but I love that guy. Sorry, Calvin. But you know what I mean? There's just something about when we share the stories of what God is doing in us that creates bridges with people that you never expect to. Like many of you, you've heard me share about, sorry, Robert, about the guy who was the best man in my wedding, that when I first met him, he was in eighth grade, he was the most annoying kid in the universe. He would jump on my back and just drive me crazy, and I hated him. But there's something about journeying together and being able to share about what God has done in our lives that really changes your perspective about people that you might find very annoying, very different from you. Not that Robert's annoying. You may not have traveled to Cyprus or to Iconium, or to Ghana, or to Uganda this summer. But there's something good and holy and necessary about us gathering back together with each other in fellowship to share with each other what Jesus is doing in us and through us and to cross those milestones of life and ministry together. So my challenge for you is not just to see church as, well, what can I get out of this group or this place? But instead, what encouragement can I give to other people? See, that helps to take us out of wallowing in our self-pity or our self-centeredness to look back at how Jesus' grace and his favor was poured out on us in his care, in his protection, in his provision. And then it opens how he has opened doors of opportunity for you to be a blessing to other people. Maybe spiritual conversations you had, or maybe tangible blessings that God was able to use through you to impact other people's lives. And as we give thanks with others to what Jesus has done, there's a shared experience of knowing and experiencing Jesus more. And as we hear other people's stories, don't you ever find that your own soul is lifted up as well? Isn't that true? We encourage one another. You see, as we learn to look back and encourage each other, it connects us to the kind of support that many of you have been looking for all this time. So as the series draws to a close, for those of you who remember, probably don't, but way back at the first message of this series, Jesus set us on three paths through this Accelerate series over this past year. And I want us to take a look back as well. First question for you. Have you been transformed by Jesus this year? Remember that the goal wasn't try harder to be a good person, but to stay connected with Jesus and allow His Holy Spirit to do work in your life. Has that happened for you? Secondly, instead of avoiding or holding people at a distance, do you embrace this weird flock of porcupines that we have in this family of Christ here? Have you been committed to engaging and accepting and caring about each other? And remember, we talked about this need for us to repent of our prejudices, of our preferences, and our lack of love for others. That we recognize that there's a huge log in our own eye instead of just looking at other people's speck, and confess that we ourselves are porcupines that oftentimes are sinful and weird and hurtful and rough around the edges and hard to get along. That it's not just other people. And thirdly, do we bring the goodness of Jesus into the marketplaces where we work, where we live, where we play? Do we teach people to repent from sin? Do we announce good news about King Jesus, that His kingdom has come, and it's not an earthly or political kingdom, but a present spiritual reality ruled by our risen King? His name is Jesus. And what I'm most proud of as I look back is I think about how many of you have caught a vision, that vision for what it would look like to be that presence of Jesus in our community, in your own neighborhoods. That some of you have caught that vision for being the light and love of Christ to your neighbors or in your workplaces or in your schools. Many of you are living it out better than I am, to be frank. Some of you have shared the experiences of Jesus at these and been encouraged at things like our youth camp this past year or our young adult retreat, our transparent retreat. Many of you are welcoming people who are very different from you to join Jesus' family through children's ministry, or remember our community outreach barbecue last month. Many of you are testifying to Jesus' goodness, even in the midst of our own sinfulness and painfulness, as you go out on missions trips to Las Vegas or to serve the future leaders of Taiwan at the university or in the children who are living in rural parts of Taiwan. Many of you as individuals and couples are experiencing healing in your relationships or of your personal hurts, and the list goes on and on and on. And so we need to stop as we wrap up this year and really reflect. It's easy, especially those of you of an Asian bent, for us to kind of look at things with a critical eye. Oh, you got all these A's and one B+, you know? And we look at the B+, and that's how many of us look at life. We look at all the things that went wrong. We look at all the things that we think that God did not come through for us or did not provide. When we should trust our sovereign God, that He knows exactly what He's doing, that He is good, that He answers that prayer of being entrusted into His hands. And we have a lot to celebrate. So as we look back at what Jesus has done in you and through you, I want you to give thanks for the ways that He has accelerated your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the glory of God, for the good of others, and let's do it together as we look back, that we would encourage one another. Because what we're talking about is it's all about Jesus, it's only about Jesus, it's always about Jesus. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer?